Today's daf in the daf yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, daf Chav Ches. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Pauline Islander, Penina Bas Yosef Yishayo. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an aliyah. We begin, four lines from the top, Chav Ches Omer Aleph. Remind us of yesterday that we brought down a different darshaning system. We had the Ribui Miut Ribui darshaning system, and then we had the classical Klalu Pratu Klal darshaning system as to what is allowed to be used for Maisu Sheni money, what you can purchase with your Maisu Sheni money. We had the Prat was the Bokar, the Tzon, the Yayin, the Sheikhar, and we had two different ways to learn this Klalu Pratu Klal. The first Brisa learned that it was pre mi pri ugidule karka. The prat came to include something that came from something else, a pre mi pri, and that it had to grow in the ground. And the second one was vlad vlados haaretz, and that therefore included things that also had their origins in the land during Maisa Bereshis. And we brought down yesterday the first pshat, which was that the difference between them was related to fish, are fish included or not, and we proved that that could not be the case. So we pick up four lines in the top, trying to reconcile the two different opinions in the Brisa, what exactly was the difference in this derivation from the Klal Pratu Klal. So Elo Omer Ravina, Ravina says the following is the difference between the two Brisas, and that is Ophos Ika B'nayu, where the birds are included in what you're allowed to spend your Kesef Maisa Sheni on, can you buy birds with them or not? According to the first pshat, the first brisa, Laman Dioma Pri Mi Pri, Vigidule Karka, that it had to be something growing from something else, a fruit that came from another fruit, and it had to come from the ground. So then, Haninami Gidule Karkininu, birds are also considered, Ophos are also considered that they get their source of food from the ground. That's what it means, vigidule karka, that they grow from the ground and that they eat the things from the ground. They eat all the seeds, etc. Laman d'yomer, the second brisa that said, no, vlad vlados haaretz, so then you need to have, they come from something else, so the birds do come from another bird, that's not a problem, and they get the nourishment from the ground, but they don't have a third characteristic, and that is that they were made during Maisa Bereshis from the ground. And it says, no, hani ofos min harakak nivru, the ofos were made from rakak. Rakak is a combination of ground, the dirt, and water, so it's like a muddy consistency, and that is different than having their source from the ground. This is the resources from the rakak, and therefore that's the difference between these two brises. So Gemara says, fine, now we've solved that problem, we understand the difference between the two brises. What exactly was their understanding here? Why does the first brisa accept birds? I already explained it a little bit. And why does the second brisa not accept birds to be purchased with Maisa Sheni money? So man demar be ofos, the first brisa that says that we do include ofos in being able to be purchased with Maisa Sheni money, my time, or what's the reasoning? And likewise, man demayit ofos, the second brisa that says you can't use Maisa Sheni money to buy birds, my time, what's their reasoning? So a little bit I explained this already, and here's where I got it from. Here's the Gemara. Man demar be ofos, the first brisa holds as follows, Kusavar, that this is the way you darshne klalu pratu klal. You have two klalos, so you have two general rules. Why does the Torah tell us two general rules? One is the ikker, and one modifies the ikker. So the first version that includes birds says klalo basra dafka, that the second klal of the klalu pratu klal is the critical one, is the ikker one. That is the dafka, that's the real one. However, you have a pratu klal, so you forget the first klal for a second, and you just look at it as a pratu klal. Now, when you have a pratu klal, nasa klal musaf ala prat. So then you started off with a prat. We ignore the first klal for a moment, and you're starting off with a prat, which says this and only this. And then you expand it with the klal. So the klal is musaf al ha prat. Now, when you start off with a prat, very specific, only this, and then you go very expansive, so then it includes everything. So if you just have a prat to klal, it's very, very expansive. However, now, bahane klala kamal lemute. But now, we now take into account the fact that there was a second klal, albeit it was the first one, but it's the less important klal, that's why I refer to it over here as the second one. But the first klal, bahane klala kamal Lemute, comes now to go and be a miut. Surprisingly, this klal is actually a miut. And it teaches us, kol d'lo domile mishnei tzadim, if you don't have both of these characteristics of the klal, which was, as we said, it was pre mi pri, so it came from some other source, so the bird comes from another bird, from the egg of the bird, and it's gidule karka. So it has its nourishment, it gets sustenance from the ground. So therefore, that includes birds. So this second klal, i.e. the first klal in the klalu pratu klal, is coming to modify the all-expansive pratu klal derivation and make it into a klat upral pratu klal, less expansive derivation, but it does include birds, because it only two are characteristics that you need, and it has both of those. On the other hand, the second brisa, uman dimimayit ofos, the second brisa which says that birds are not able to be purchased maishas money, maishas sheni money, so kusavar, this holds as follows, that klolo kama dafka, the first klal is the critical klal, and therefore, the second klal is going to modify eventually the first klal. So we look at this as a klalu prat. So this is a klalu prat. When you have a klal uprat, you start off with a general expansive type of a statement, and then you minimize it. Your prat, you say, only includes this. So when you have the first klal as the critical one, we darshan is a klal uprat, which is a very minimal type of drasha, only things in the prat. Hani, in midyachrina lo. Only things in the prat are considered able to be purchased, for example, with maisa sheni money, and not the general rule. But then you have the second klal. Here it literally is the second klal. The ani klal basra, the second klal now comes to add on to the klal prat, which was very minimal. The ribuye called the domile, anything that's like it, like the prat, but it has to be totally like it, mishloshot stodim, from all the three aspects in our case, which would mean that it has to be the Vlad coming from Vlados, so it has to be Vlad itself, and it has to come from Vlados, and it has to get its sustenance from the ground, but it also has to have its source in Maisa Bereshis from the ground as well. And therefore, in this situation, the birds come from the Rakak, the birds don't come from the ground, and therefore, they're not included. And that's why the second Brisa, this is the way the Darshan, the Klal Pratu Klal, assuming that the first klal is the important one, would exclude birds. So that's the understanding of the two brises, that it's dealing with the difference between them as ofos. Rav Yehuda mishmei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas mishmei de Rav. So Rav Yehuda said name of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, and he says this in the name of Rav. Now we're going to go and discuss various types of foods. Can they be used for the Erev Tehumim or for your Erev Chatzeros? So he says, Ma'arvin, you are allowed to use the following types of produce as your Erev Tchumim, or your Erev Chatzeros. And he says, you can use Ma'arvin Befafuin. Rashi explains that this is a certain type of vegetable. He gives a whole bunch of foreign language terms. And you also can use Bechalag Logos. You can use another type of vegetable. Rashi has another foreign language term for them. And Ubigudgonios. Here Rashi has the foreign language term Oleander, which is at least a word that maybe we recognize. So all three of these types of vegetables are allowed to be used for the Erev. Now, he says as well, Avolo Bechoses, but you can't use something called Choses for the Erev. Rashi says this is shachas shel tvua. This is some sort of a immature type of tvua, kishu yorok, when it's green. If it goes in the ochlin or so, and you cut it, and you eat it. But he says this is not considered good to be used for the Erev. Below, but kafnios. And likewise, you can't use kafnios. We remember from the Gemara and Brachos, we had a whole discussion about the kafnios. So Rashi explains here that the kafnios are tumorim ra'os. These are bad dates, shelo bishlu kol tzorchot, that aren't fully mature and aren't yet ready to eat. So therefore, these two things, the chazes and the kafnios, we'll have to explain why not fully, are not able to use as the Erev, because they're not really edible. And therefore, you need to have something that's edible to be your Erev. So these five things, the first three are types of produce, types of vegetables, grass, that are good for the air because they're edible. And the last two, the chazes and the kafnios, are not. Gemara says, really? Ube gudgonios, mima arvin. You're telling me the gudgonios, this coriander, the oleander, this is in fact able to be eaten, and therefore it's good for an Erev? Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, gudgonios, these gudgonios, which Rashi tells us, are going to cause memitin esazera. They cause a person to become incapable of impregnating a woman. His zera is minimized. So merube banim, somebody who already has baruch shem a lot of children, yochlu, he could eat this because if his zera goes down, he's already accomplished the mitzvah pruvu. Chasuche banim, however, people still who want to have children, they don't have children yet, lo yochlu, they shouldn't eat this because it's going to make you incapable of having children. It's going to make you sterile. So how can you tell me that it's good gonios is a food? You see, the Braisa clearly says, don't go and eat it. Furthermore, the Braisa says, vim hukshu lezera, and it became hard, if this coriander becomes hard, Rashi says, the stalks are klochin ka'etz, they become like hard like wood. In this situation, the seed, shekvar tzomach ben zaro, so the seed inside has already blossomed. So in this situation, the good gonios are koshin ha'klochin l'chalodim. They're actually bad for everybody, not only for the people that haven't had children, but even for the people that have had children, this is going to hurt them. Even though it'll do more than just diminish their zara, it's going to hurt them. So how can you tell me good gonios is a food? So our answer is three terutzim. Tirgumah, number one, Ashalo hukshu lezera. We're talking here where it hasn't become yet to this hardened state. So it's not bad for the person who's already had children. So he'll have a little bit less zera, but he has already children. And therefore, it's talking about umarube bottom. It's talking about it's not bad for somebody who has already a lot of children. So therefore, it's a good eruv for him. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, no, even for people that haven't yet had children, it's still allowed to be used for an eruv. Why not? It shouldn't be used for an eruv. They're not going to eat this. So we're in, since that we said previously, because it is a food that people who already have lots of children and don't mind having their zera be minimized because they will use it. After all, didn't we learn our Mishnah? Milo Tanan, Al Mishnah said, you're allowed to use for a nazir wine to make his Erev, even though he can't himself personally have the wine, and Uli Yisrael, and you're allowed to use for a non-Kohen, Betruma. So even though the Nazir can't have the wine, and the Yisrael can't have the Truma, Alma, Afogad, the Lochazi Lahai, even though they themselves can't have it, since it's edible, it's Chazi Lahai, it's edible for somebody else. The Kohen can eat the Truma. A non-Nazir can drink the wine. So therefore, that's why it's a good Erev. So even though the Chasuche Banim aren't going to have this coriander, because it's going to diminish the zera, which they don't want, but since people already have lots of children don't mind that the zera is diminished, then it's good for them. So therefore, if it's good for the merube banim, so therefore the chasuche banim can use it as well. That's what the Gemara says, hachanami, here too, in our case, with the coriander, so the good gonios, apple gav lo chazi lahai, even though the chasuche banim don't use it, chazi lahai, it's good for the merube banim. Fine. Teretz number three, everybody say, when Rav said that you are in fact allowed to go and use this good gonios, right? This is the statement that we're going to discuss later in the Gemara as well, so remember it now. Rav says you are allowed to use these various types of foods, the papuin, the chalaglugos, and the good gonios, so, and you can't use the chazes and the kafnios. We'll have a lot of discussion about this on the Omid Beis. So when Rav said this, he was referring to behin dakuke Madoi. He's referring here to this good gonios that came from Madoi, from Madai. And therefore, those are in fact edible. But the regular good gonios that we've been referring to, those are in fact dangerous. And therefore, people shouldn't eat them. And therefore, they can't be used for an eruv. Now the Gemara says, did Rab really say that you can't use the chazes and the kafnios? So the chazes you can't use? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab said that kishus, which Rashi says is humlin, which is what we know as hops, that's what you make beer from, the chazes, and this chazes, this immature type of a green grain, ma'arvin behen, he says, you are allowed to use them, umavarchalim bar pri adama, and they're a real food, you make a bar pri adama on them. So clearly, they are food, you make a bar pri adama on them, and therefore they are allowed to be used for an eruv. So you have a stira. Here Rav says that you are allowed to use the chazes for the eruv, and we just brought down from Rav Yehuda, Mishmei the Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, in the name of Rav, that you can use them. So there's a stira in Rav. He says, no problem. The first statement that we made was that you can't use these chazes was before Rav came to Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody ate chazes, and therefore Rav said it's not a food, it can't be used for an eruv. However, once he came to Bavel, he saw that Bavel, the people, ate this. So, after Rav came to Bavel, he saw that this is a food, so he changed his opinion. And he said, oh, people here consider it a food, so therefore you make a bar pri adam on it, and you can use it for an eruv. We're asked a question that we have throughout Shas, this type of a question. And because people in one place do something, that determines the halacha for the rest of the world. Ubavol havi aruba, the alma, because they eat this in Babel. So that makes it that the rest of the world also considers it a food. Just in Babel, those nuts, they eat it over there. But who says? Here you had the Jew, and the rest of the world goes and eats this type of a food. So how could Rav change his opinion? So in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of the Jewish people don't go and eat this as a food. So you can't use this for an Eruv. So how come? Because there are a couple of people in Babel that go and eat it, that Ruba the Alma, that now determines the din for the whole world. But Tanya, we learned another brisa, Hapul, various types of beans, Vasora, barley, Vatilson, this is always translated as fenugreek, Shazar and Leoric, if you planted them for the purposes of eating them, as Rashi says, Lechol Biyarkon, to eat them when they're in this state, not for their seeds, but to eat them. So then, in fact, Botlo Daito, Eitzel Kol Odom, that in this situation, we don't go like these people, but we say that most people don't plant it for these Yerokos, they don't plant it to eat, they plant it for the seed. And the ramifications of that are Lefikoch, Zaron, Chayav, the Yerokon Potter. So the seed is still the Iker, even though you planted it for the Yerek, for the vegetable part, but the seed is the Iker, and you have to take Maestros on the seed, which is a food, therefore you have to take off Maestros from it, and this Yerek, which you're not normally planting to eat, even though this person is planting to eat, you don't take off Trumas and Maestros from. Similarly, Hashachlayim, Shachlayim is always translated, Rashi says, as cressin, as cress, watercress, and Vagargir. Gargir is a certain type of Urgo, Necho, Ben Zera, or Ben Yerek. It's a certain type of vegetable that's eaten both for the seed and for the vegetable itself. So both of these, the cress and the gargir, Shazor and Yerek, if you planted them for the purpose of eating them as a vegetable, so then Misasr and Yerek, Vizera. So then this is, in fact, a food, and as the Yerek, you do have to take off Trumas and Maisis, but also the Zera. Even though you didn't plant it for that purpose, that's also considered a food. Likewise, if you Zoran the Zera, if your intention to plant it was to grow the seeds, nevertheless, Misasin Zera or Yerek. So, of course, the Zera you have to take off Maisis from, but the Yerek is also considered important. So, bottom line is, you see clearly that you don't go after what these people are doing, even though they planted the pool, the sora, and the tilson for the purposes of the vegetable, but the dietzer, it's a kolodam. So, Rav, how can you tell me that the people in Babel, oh, they suddenly eat this chazes, that makes it into food. But the rest of the world doesn't consider it a food. So it says, Taki, you're right. So, ki koma Rav, when Rav said that you're allowed to use this chazes as an Erev, in other words, it's a food, return to the Amud Beis, this is the reasoning, because he says you're talking about a different type of chazes. You're talking about bidiganuniyusa. You're talking here, Rashi says, b'chazes shagoda begina. This is a garden type of chazes. The kuliyam ochlio. This is different. Everybody eats this. So when Rav, in the second statement that was made on Yehuda Amarav, when he said that you're allowed to use the chazes, make a bar priyadam on it, and it's good for an Erev, he's talking about this garden type of chazes. And the first statement that was made over in the name Bishmei Derav, that was talking about the type that is not normally considered edible in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't eat it, and that determines halacha. That's what most people don't eat it. So even though in Babel somebody might eat it, that's not the answer. Mark continues and says, this Zera Gargir, this seed of the Gargir, which we just said, Hashachlayim v'hagargir, they're able to be used both as a vegetable and for the seed. So the Gemara asks, what's it used for? This seed, who really eats this? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shekein Rishonim, Shelo Hoyulhem Pilplin, the people originally, when they didn't have pepper, it wasn't grown yet, and wherever they were, so instead of pepper, what would they do? Shochakin also, they would take this zera of the gargir, and they would go and chop it up, they would grind it up, and they used it as a seasoning, as a spice for their roasted stuff. And therefore, in this situation, it is considered a food. Mark continues and says, Rav Zeira, ki havi cholish migirse, when Rav Zeira would be tired from learning when he was older and he wasn't able to learn anymore, so what did he want to do? How did he want to spend his time? He didn't go take out a newspaper, sit down and watch television. He would go sit by the entrance of the Beis Medrash of Rav Yehuda Bar Ami, and Omar, he said, ki novke v'aile rabbanim, when the rabbis go and come out, or when they go in, I'll sit here and I'll stand up for them. Eikom mikamayu, and this way, v'akabu agra, and I'll get schar for the tremendous act of standing up for a Talmud Chacham. Everybody asks the question: how could he say I'll get schar? A person, we know the famous statement Pirkei Avos that you shouldn't go serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu amanas lekabel pras. You should serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu amanas shelo lekabel pras. So many terutzim are given. So the famous one is brought down from the Bnei Yisoschar, and he brings down the Sefer Charedim, that the schar that you get for standing up for Talmud Chacham is something that is not a gashmius type of a schar, it's a spiritual type of schar that you'll be a Yari Shemayim. Oh, when you're doing something not for a gashmius schar, but you're doing it for a spiritual schar, so then you're allowed to go and be doing a mitzvah, amanas the kabul pras. In any event, so he would stand up in front of the Talmidei Chachamim when they would come in and would go out. Nu, a young Talmud Chacham came out. Nofik, also Yanuka, a young little boy, came out, the Ve'rab, that was learning in the base medrash there. So he asked him, Amalei, my Agmurcha Rabbach, Nu, what'd you learn? Tell me what you learned in yeshiva today. So Amalei, the little boy, tells him, Kashus, this hops is humlin, Bari Priyadam, you make a Bari Priyadam on it. Chazis, however, is a shakol nebidvaro. The chaz is this type of a green, immature type of a grain that you only make a shakol nebidvaro on it. So Rav Zeira was surprised at this. Amalei, he said to the little boy, Adraba, no, the opposite. Ivchum istabra, it makes more sense to say the exact opposite. Hai me ara komarbe, this chaz is, comes from the ground, so it makes sense to make on it a bar priyadama. Bahai, this humlin, these hops, these koshus, they don't actually grow in the ground. As we'll see, they grow on top of certain types of little bushes, and that's how they grow. So it makes sense to say that they grow from the air, not from the ground, and therefore you should make a shakal on them. So the Gemara says, no, the boy was correct. He was taught correctly, and Rosera was wrong. Why? My time up. Hi, Gemara Peri, the kishos, the hops, they're the Gemara Peri. That's the end product, and therefore you make a Bari Priya Adama on the end product. However, the Chazis, Bahai Lav Gemara Peri, this Chazis is not considered the Gemara Peri because it's going to still have to mature more. It's immature right now, and therefore you don't make a Bari Priya Adama, you make a Shakol on the Ebed Varo. It's like a person eats potatoes. So raw potatoes, you don't eat them. You make a Shakol on the Ebed Varo. It's only when you cook a potato, you make a Bari Priya Adama on it. So it's the same idea. It's not yet the Gemara Peri, you make a Shakol. I, Rav Zeira said, Umay de kamres, hay me aro karabi. Rav Zeira's statement was a good answer. He said that the chazis comes from the ground. So it's me aro karabi, so that's why you should make a bar priyadama. And the kishas, the hops, by me avira karabi, they grow from the air, so to say, so therefore you should make shakal miyaro. How do you teretz that up? Lohi, that's incorrect. The kishus not in the aro karabi. No, they both grow from the ground. So the chazis, well, grows from the ground. Nevertheless, it's not considered gemara peri. That's why I make a shakal. But the kishos, they do grow from the ground. They don't grow from the avir. Kishus nami me aro karabi. They grow from the ground. And I'll prove it to you. The ha'akor chazinon could go and see the kotlina lo lihizmos. So if you go and kill the little bush that the kishos grow on, umaisa kishusa, the hops, the kishus, will die. The Bach says that the word Maisa is a lotion of Misa. Kaloma Yovesh HaKishus. So the Kishus will dry up. Now, you see that you killed the bush. The Kishus died. Now, if they got their sustenance from the air, they wouldn't die. So therefore, you see that they're getting their sustenance from the ground. Now, if you remember previously, I pointed out the Obed Aleph, that Rav said that the Kafnios are not allowed to. The Chazis and the Kafnios you can't make an Erev with. The Kafnios, again, are these immature dates. So now the Gemara questions that. Ubekafnios ein ma'arvim rav. Really, you're not allowed to do a Erev Chatzeros or an Erev Tumim with Kafnios? Why not? V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, Kor. What is Kor? So Rashi tells us. The Rashi is all the way up towards the very top of the Yomud, the last of the wider lines, where Rashi tells us that this Kor is a Dover Rach. It's a soft material, hanosef al hadeko, that keeps on growing on the palm tree. The whole shana, every year it grows more, and each year it hardens. The kodim shiagiu yemos hageshomim v'yiskashe. So that year's growth is originally soft, and that's the heart of palm, and it then gets harder at the end of the year, and v'yase eitz, and becomes wood, it becomes a tree. And that's called korle kur. V'tov l'maychlo, when it's soft, it is very edible and delicious. However, nobody really plants this tree for this core because then you're going to destroy the tree if you keep on removing the tree part when it's soft. So therefore, the Braisa tells us this core, nikach b'kesef maisa, you are allowed to go and use maisa sheni funds to go and purchase this, which would imply that it's a food. And therefore, it should be good for an Erev. This would be the kash on Rav. And therefore, the eno mitami tumas ochlin, however, the Tanakhama says even though you can use it to purchase with maisa sheni money, it doesn't get tumas ochlin. Now, why is that? So Rashi explains, why does it get Maaser Sheni? Why can it be used with Maaser Sheni? Depri Mipri, Uduli Karku, like the first Braisa that we had that explained the Klalu Pratu Klal, because this comes from another fruit. It comes from the tree itself. It's a fruit itself, and it is Gedule Karka. So that's why you can purchase it with Maaser Sheni funds. However, why doesn't it get Tumas Ochlin? Rashi continues, he says, Vafilu Chishevelo Lachilo, even though you intended to eat it, the Lav Ochlu, because as I pointed out, it's not considered a food, because otherwise, the tree would never grow. You don't plant the tree for the tree bark. You plant it for the fruits of the tree, and therefore it's not considered a food, even though a person can eat it and it's edible. However, the Braisa continues, the kafnios nikochos bekes of Maaser Sheni, the kafnios, these fruits, these immature dates that are there, which is now what we're interested in, nikochos bekes of Maaser Sheni umetamos tumas ochlin. These are absolutely considered food. You can purchase them with Maaser Sheni money. They're certainly pre-mi-pri and gedule karka, and they are for eating purposes, and therefore they're ochal. And therefore, this is the end of the question, although we're going to continue reading the rest of the Braisa, Kashan Rav. Here it says clearly that the kafnios are an ochal, and therefore they can be used for a Erev Tuchumim or an Erev Chatzeros. Why, Rav, did you go against this Braisa? But we continue reading the rest of the Braisa, and that will lead to additional questions. Review the Omer. Review the disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says, yeah, I agree with you. Kur harehu keitzachol dvar. I agree with you that this kor is not considered an ochel, and it's not matami to an ochel. And in addition, I also agree with you, elo shenikach bekes of Maaser Sheni, that it's allowed to be used for money, you're allowed to use money from Maaser Sheni to purchase it. Now, this is exactly what the Tanakhama says, and later on in the daf, we're going to ask, what is Rav Yehuda adding to the Tanakhama? Obviously, he's machlokus with the Tanakhama, because it wouldn't say, otherwise, it would say he disagrees with the Tanakhama, or it would say he is the Tanakhama. So, obviously, this is going to be a different opinion, although right now it sounds exactly the same opinion as the Tanakhama in regards to the core, in regards to this aspect of the palm tree. Now, the kafnios, these immature dates on the palm tree, here, Rav Yehuda clearly argues with the Tanakhama, Harei Hein Kipri L'chol Devrayem, Elo Shepturos Ben Amayzer. Here, he agrees that they are a food, and that they are considered like a pri in regards to everything, except that you don't take off maizes from them. Now, the Tanakhama said, you do take off maizes from them, so here, there's clearly a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakhama. The question is, why don't you take off chumas, why don't you take off chumas and maizos from these kafnios, according to Rav Yehuda, if it's a food? So Rashi explains, delo nigmaro melachto, because they're not a completed fruit yet, and therefore, according to his opinion, only a gemar pri has an obligation for trumas and maizos. Tanakhama disagrees. Rashi says, Tanakhama chayavos, they call mile peros dinu, because the bottom line is, it's a fruit, and people eat it. And therefore, even if it's not a complete fruit, it's still immature, it nevertheless is going to have a chiyav of trumas and maizos. So for the second part, the kafnios, there clearly is a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. For the first part, it looks like they're saying the same thing, and we'll address that. But the bottom line is that there's a kasha on Rav. On the Omen Aleph, Rav said that you can't use the kafnios to make an eruv because it's not considered food. But the Tanakhama clearly says the kafnios are metame tumas ochlin and nikochos bekesef maaser sheni. So therefore, they clearly are a food. Why can't you use them for your eruv? So Gemara answers, because they're talking about different types of kafnios. Hossam, in this Braisa, the Hossam is over there because Rav is an Argumara, so Rav is Hocha, and the Hossam is referring to this Braisa, Bidinischani. It's referring to these type, Rashi says, Dekolim Zucharim. These are male palm trees. There's apparently a difference between a, quote, male palm tree and a female palm tree, and that the male palm trees that produce these kafnios, the Eina Nasim Tumorim Liolim, they will never mature. So the male palm trees, this is the end product. And therefore, the kafnios hu gemara peiron, and this is considered the end product. And that's why in the Braisa it says that you take off chumas and maizos, and that they're in Ochlin. The lokten osam benisan, because they would go and gather them in a nisan and use them. However, the kikama Rav, when Rav said, he was talking about dekolim nekevos, he was talking about female palm trees, shekafnios shelohen nasatmorim, those immature, ripe fruits, kafnios eventually become full-fledged tmorim. And therefore, Akati logmar perio, and therefore Rav says they're not yet completed, and therefore that's why you can't use them for an eruv, because an eruv has to be food that's edible right now. So that explains what seemed to have been a stira between Rav and the Braisa. Gemara, however, does not like this answer. Gemara says, Ihochi, if what we're saying is true, that Rav is talking about that you can't use the female palm trees because their unripe fruits are going to ripen. And where the Braisa said you can use the kafnios is because they're the Gemar Peri, because they're never going to ripen because this is a male palm tree. Gemara says, if this is true, Baha, in this scenario, Lamar Rav Yehuda, Paturus Min HaMaisa, would Rav Yehuda say that they, in fact, are going to be potter for maestros? If you're dealing here in the Braisa, as we just said, with male palm trees, so then the kafnios are the Gemara Peri. So then why would Rav Yehuda say that they're potter Min HaMaestros? That's the end product. Everybody would agree. V'atanya, and I'll show you that that's correct. And it's a kasha on our teretz here. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said in another Braisa, Lo huskru page beisioni, the pagim, which are the immature figs of beisioni, that's a certain place, they were mentioned. They were only mentioned in regards to maestros. And what was it said about them? Page bisioni, these immature figs of bisioni, and likewise the vahini, these are immature dates. That's essentially the kafnios, the tovina of tovina, chayovim b'maisa, or in fact chayovim in maestros. In other words, they're considered fruits. That's the Gemara Peri. So Rav Yehuda, if that's the answer that you're saying, is talking about in this Braisa, the male palm, which is going to produce these immature fruits as the final product, so then he wouldn't say that they're part of the maestros. So therefore, our teretz, that the Braisa is talking about the male, and Rav was talking about the female palm trees, is not a good teretz. So it says, okay, we'll try again. How do we reconcile Rav with this Braisa? Eliolam lav b'nischoni. No, well, you're right. You're not talking about the palm trees that are male in the Braisa. What are we talking about? Well, inyan tumas ochlin shiny. The answer is, there are different halachos regarding Erevin versus regarding Trumas and Maisus. Kedama Rebbe Yochanan, as Rebbe Yochanan said, Ho v'royel l'maskon ayideh ha'or, since you can go and make matok, you can make sweet, in other words, you can make them more edible via or putting them in the fire, therefore, they're considered an ochel in regards to being makabel tuma, because they could be makabel tuma, because they could be considered a fruit, because all you have to do is put them in the fire. So, ochanami, ho, v'yochel maskan al yedei or, since in this situation, you could make them edible by putting them in the fire, so therefore the status of ochel applies to them, and they're makabel tuma. However, in regards to the Erev, where Rav said you're not allowed to use them for an Erev, that's a different din. An Erev, by definition, has to be edible right now in order for it to function to bring everybody together. You can't say, well, it's not edible right now, but if we put it in the fire, it'll be edible. No, by definition, it has to be edible right now. So in regards to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, it has the potential to be a food, so then even if it's not a food right now, it's still considered Makabel Tumah. But in regards to the halachos of Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tuchum, it must be edible right now. Therefore, Rav says to use it for an Erev, it's not edible right now. As opposed to, in the Braisa, that it is capable of becoming a food by just putting in the fire, that is good enough to make it Makabel Tumah. Where we find that Rav Yochanan said this, Ve'echa itma de Rav Yochanan, so aha, it's on the following Braisa. What does this Braisa say? The Tanya. The Braisa tells us, Shkedim Hamorim. Now here we're going to be talking about two different types of Shkedim. You have Shkedim that are bitter Shkedim, and you're going to have Shkedim that are called Metukim, that are a sweet type of almonds. So the first ones are the Shkedim Hamorim, and they're going to have a small stage, and they're going to have a large stage. In the small stage, they are going to be edible. But when they get larger, when they get more mature, they become too bitter. That's why they're called Shkedim Amarim. So they're only edible in this small stage, as opposed to the Metukim. So when they're small, it's the exact opposite. They're not fully sweetened yet, so you don't eat them when they're small, and you only eat them when they're large. So they're the flip of each other. So now let's see the Braisa. The Tanya. Shkedim Amarim, if you have these bitter almonds that are going to be edible when they're small, but inedible, they're too bitter when they get larger. So ketanim chayab, and the ketanim are considered food, and therefore they're subject to trumas and maestros. However, the gedolim, once they become bitter, they're no longer considered food, and therefore paturim from trumas and maestros. Opposite for the mesukim, the almonds that are sweet. Gedolim achayavim, the larger ones, now they're fully sweetened and edible, so they're chayav in trumas and maestros. But the ketanim apaturim, the small ones, they're not sweet enough, and people wait to let them mature to become large, so therefore, you don't have to take off trumas and maestros if you eat them when they're small. That is the opinion of the Tanakam in this Braisa. Along comes that a year, so that we have is Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi, but throughout Shatz we find it's Rabbi Shmuel ben Yossi, and that's the Girsa on the side. So this should be Rabbi Shmuel ben Yossi. He says, Omer Mishum Aviv, he says the name of his father, the great Rabbi Yossi, and he says as follows, Zeh v'zeh liftor. He says, both this and that case are potter from Trumas and Maisus. What does he mean, this and that? Okay, so Rashi tells us as well, Tosus has the same idea, that this is talking about the bitter almonds, ben gedolim uben ketanim, whether you're dealing with the smaller ones or the larger ones. Why are they going to be potter? So gedolim, the love ochla. So the larger ones, it's easy, because they're too bitter to eat. And ketanim, why are they potter from trumas and maisros, according to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Yossi? Because the small ones aren't gemar peri, and therefore they're not considered peri. That's why zeh v'zeh, the opinion is that he said that it's potter. However, others say, v'amri lo, others said that the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, in the name of his father, was zeh v'zeh l'chiyav, that both of them are going to be chayav. So the small ones, we understand, because they are, in fact, edible. More or less in a second, but why are the larger ones chayav? They're not really edible. They're too bitter. We'll get to that in a second. In any event, before we get to that, Amar Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Loi said, Hori Rabbi Chanina b'tzipori, Rabbi Chanina in Tzipori, he paskined, like the first version here, Kedibri Omer Zev Zeh Liftor, which we understood and explained. And now the Gemara says, according to the other man, the Amar, the Amre, it said Zev Zeh L'chiyav, the Amar Zev Zeh L'chiyav, L'may Chazi. So why? We understand the small ones. They're chayav because they're edible when the small ones, the bitter ones are small, they're edible. But when the bitter ones get larger, they're not edible. So why should they be chayav in trumas and maisos? So on that, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, and here's the answer, Ho v'roi l'masko na'idei ha'ar. Since if you put them in a fire, they would get sweet. So even though right now they're not sweet, but if you put them in a fire, they would get sweet. This is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. It says, Ho, since if you did something to them, they could get sweet. They're chayav in trumas and maisos. So too, when we're dealing here with the kafnios, if you put them into a fire, they would get sweet. So therefore, it is considered something that's royal kabbal tuma, and you take off trumas and maisers. Of course, it doesn't change anything around in terms of the erev, for the erev has to be edible right now, not that if we did something to it, it would be okay. Now the Gemara continues and discusses how much of various types of items do you need in order to make an erev chumim or an erev chatzeros. You need to have two meals worth. The Gemara is going to tell us that it's two meals worth with bread. So let's say you're having certain types of vegetables with this, the lalafis of pas, they come along to accompany the bread, so you don't need the kizayis' worth or the kibetz' worth of the amount that you need in terms of the substance alone. It's how much you'd need if you ate it with bread. As more will say, Amamar. We just had in the Brisa of Yehuda Omer Kor, this heart of palm, this growth that's around the tree that's originally soft and eventually becomes hard. So Yehuda told us, Kor hareyu keitz l'chol dvar, it is considered like wood in regards to all things. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Brisa. And the exception is nikach b'kesef ma'aser sheni. It's allowed to be used, to be purchased with the kesef ma'aser sheni funds. However, both he and the Tanakama said the exact same thing, that while it could be taken with kesef ma'aser sheni, it's not matami tumas ochlin. It doesn't have the status of being a food. Now, the Gemara tells us this is exactly the same opinion as the Tanakama, like I pointed out. Hainu Tanakama, they both say the same thing. So what's the difference between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama? So the Gemara says, Amar Abai, Abai gives a teretz, which we're going to shlug up. Shloko v'tigno ikar b'nayu. The difference is, if you went, and shloko means you cooked it, you stewed it, and tigno means you fried it in oil. So therefore, that's the difference between the two of them. The Tanakama didn't say it's ke'etz l'chol dvarav. That implies that no matter what you do to it, it's going to be eitz. That's what Rav Yehuda said. And therefore, the Tanakama says, if you go and do this whole big deal to it, you go and cook it for a long time, or you go and fry it, then it will become an ochel. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, even if you cook it or fry it, it won't become an ochel. That's what Abaye says is the teretz between the difference between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Rava doesn't like this. Maskev l'Rava, Rava asks his colleague Abaye, Mikol man d'yoma shloka v'tigna lo. Does anybody really say that if you make it edible, then it's not considered a food? Now, if you go cook this, you stew it, and you go and fry it, so it's going to make it into a food. V'tanya, and we learned in a braisa, ha'or v'hashuya, if you have a hide of an animal, or if you have the amniotic sac, that's the or and the shoya. So they're not considered food under normal situations. Or the shoya, aimatam to mesochlin, because they're normally not edible. However, if you go and cook it extensively, or shishilako, however, if you have this hide that you stewed it, and the shoya, and did you stewed it, shechishavala, and you intended to eat it, so you machshav it into an ochel, so then they are in fact metamin to mesochlin. They are in fact considered metami to mesochlin. So here you clearly see that everybody agrees that if you fry it or you cook it extensively, that it is going to become tami to mesochlin. So how can you tell me that's the difference between the Tanakam and Yehuda? Yehuda would be maskim that in that situation it is considered capable of being makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, Elo, Amar, Rabba. Rabba gives that here's the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Ika benayu beracha. The difference between them is what bracha do you make on it? That Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakam have a different bracha over here on the core. And what is that? So we're going to bring now a raya from Amorayim, from Rabbi Yehuda the Amora and Shmuel the Amora, as to what the machlokis is between Rabbi Yehuda the Tana and the Tanakama. So again, don't get mixed up. There are two different Rabbi Yehudas over here. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana is who we've been discussing till now, and now we're going to introduce the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda the Amora. The Itmar, because they send the base medrash, Kur, this heart of palm, this item that we've been talking about, that you do not consider to be Ochlin according to both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. So this is their machlokis. Rav Yehuda the Amori says that you make a bar priya dom on it. We'll see why in a moment. Shmuel Mar, you make a shakol ni ebed voro. The Shmuel says you only make a shakol. Now why is that? Rav Yehuda the Amora says that you make a bar priya dom. You know why? Because it's a food. And therefore, the Tanakama says that it's a food. Uchlohu. However, according to Shmuel, Shmuel Amar Shakol Niyebid Varo. This is only a Shahako. Why? Given Shesofo Lahakshos, so it's going to turn into a shtick wood. Lo Mivarchini Lavi Bar Priyadam. Therefore, you don't make a Bar Priyadam on it. So, therefore, this machlokis between Rav Yehuda the Amora and Shmuel the Amora is equivalent to the machlokis we had in the Brisa between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. So, we have Rav Yehuda the Amora not holding like Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. Rav Yehuda the Amora holds like the Tanakama, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. In other words, you find often throughout Shas, this is a machlok of the same Shemayim, and Shmuel is now going to tell his Talmud Chaver, Rav Yehuda the Amora, that I think, Taka, you're right, even though I hold other than you, and we're actually going to pasuk like me, you have very good rayas for you. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says to his Talmud Chaver, Rav Yehuda, Shinna, throughout Shas he calls him the sharp one. Again, Rav Yehuda, the Amora, learned by Rav, and when Rav passed away, he learned by Shmuel. So he really is a Talmud Chaver of Shmuel, and Shmuel often asked him, what did Rav say about something, and they would have discussions. So he calls him throughout Shas Shinna, the sharp one. There's one interpretation, which I always mention, that he says, you long-toothed one. That's what Shinna means for the Lashon of Shane, tooth, but that's somewhat derogatory, and it doesn't seem to make as much sense as calling him, you very, very sharp one. Kavasech Mistabra, your opinion is actually more logical than my opinion. Why? Because I'll show you a riot to your opinion. Dots known, radishes. Though people plant radishes, they shesofel haksos. Eventually the radish, if you leave it in the ground long enough, it will get hard and be less edible. Nevertheless, you make a bar piyadam on it. So therefore, even though it's eventually going to become hard, you still make a bar piyadam on it. So that's exactly like your shita, that this core, which will eventually become hard, while it's soft, you still make a bar piyadam on it. However, Shmuel's support of Rabbi Yehuda is pushed aside by the Gemara. Velohi. In fact, that's incorrect. Because why? It's known the radishes, the reason they're planted is nite inshe adaito de pugla. Because they're planted specifically to be eaten when they're soft. We don't want them to ever become hard. So therefore, that's why you make a bar piyadam on them when they're soft, because that's their ideal perfect stage. As opposed to when you're dealing over here with the core, so the core is not meant to be eaten. Some people eat it at that stage, but it's meant for it to become hard. That's the purpose of it, so you have a nice, thick, sturdy trunk of the tree. So dikla lo nite inshi adaita dekorit. Nobody ever plants the palm tree to eat the heart of palm. They're planting it so you have a nice strong palm tree so it will grow nice strong dates on it. So therefore that's the difference between the two. Shmuel's raya is not a good raya. How do we paskin where it says v'afal gav the kalsi Shmuel Rav Yehuda, even though Shmuel himself personally thought the Rav Yehuda had a good approach, even though he praised him, we pass like Shmuel in this situation over Rav Yehuda, that in fact he make a shakol nye bidvaro. Now we discuss Gufa. We go back to what we had on the Amud Aleph of today's shir. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, the koshus, the humlin, the hops, the chazes, and we said this certain immature green type of grain, ma'arvin behen, you can go and use them for the Erev. That's what we had said in the name of Rav originally, and umavarchin aleim bari priyadama, and you make a bari priyadama. Now, how much do you have to have if you're going to use it for an Erev? This is what I mentioned before. You need to have enough to be lalafis as a pas for the two meals. So kishus bekama, how much of the hops do you have to have? So kidama Rabbi Chil, as Rabbi Chil said, kimelo hayad. You need to have a handful worth. That's the amount that a person would eat with two meals worth of bread. So hochanami, kimlo hayad. So too, he said that in regards to something else. So too over here, that this handful is considered the amount that's necessary. So that's for the Kishas. What about the Chazis, which we said, Rav said you also could use for the Erev? Chazis Bekama, how much of this immature green type of a grain do you need? So Amar Rav Bar Tuvia Bar Yitzchak. Rav Bar Tuvia Bar Yitzchak said, Amar Rav, the name of Rav, Kimlo Uzilsa the Ikare. This is the amount of the binding, the bundles, that Rashi says that they used to make, Agudos Yerek Shekarkina Ikarim. These are the bundles of this material, of this chaziz, that they used to bundle, the farmers used to bundle up together. So a bundle's worth is what is considered appropriate. Amar Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvia Ma'arvim Bakalya. Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvia adds another thing that you can make an Erev Chumen or an Erev Chatzeres with. He says you can use Kalya. Kalya, Rashi says, it's Klach Shalei. So there's a stalk of some sort of a grass, the Koshikates, and it's hard like wood. Where it says, how could it be if it's hard? Bakalya Salkadaitach? It's not a food. So how can you use it for an Erev? Erev has to be a food. So where it says, Ela Biyarka the Kalya. It's talking about the various grasses that come along with this Kalya. And how much of that? The Kama? I'm Rabbi Yechiel. Rabbi Yechiel said here too as well, Kim Loayat. It would be the Meloayat. That's what Rabbi Yechiel before we referred to. Where did Rabbi Yechiel say this? He said in regards to the Kaya, and the same thing applies in regards to the Kashas. Gemara continues and said, Rabbi Yirmiyah Nafel Kiryasa. Rabbi Yirmiyah went out to go and check his Tvua. Rashi says he went out to the Kfarim. The Kfarim are like the little villages, and Liros Betuvasa to see how his crops were doing. He had extensive properties, and he went to check on how they're doing. While he was out there, they asked him the following question. Bo'amine, the people who were in those villages, asked him the following shayla. Ma'ul Ariv b'pulin lachin. Are you allowed to use for an Erev, either Erev Chatzeres or Erev Tchumim, these pulin lachin, these moist type of beans? Now, he didn't know the answer. Lo b'yodek. So, again, honesty is always the best answer. Don't make something up if you don't know it. We find this throughout Shas. People were not afraid to say, I do not know. So he said, I do not know. He said, I'll find out the answer. He also, they made Russia. We went back to the base Medrash. He asked them, are you allowed to make an Erev with this pulin lachin? So Amrulei, and they responded. They told him, Hachi Amar Rav Yane. Rav Yane said the following, Ma'arvim b'pulin lachin. You are, in fact, allowed to make an Erev with the pulin lachin. No, then he asked, V'kama, how much are necessary to be yotzei for the two shiur, the two meals shear that Salafis is a pas? So Amar Rav Yechiel, again, here Rav Yechiel said, Kim lo ayah. This is the same Rav Yechiel. We just had it twice already. So he said here as well, a handful, that is the amount. The Gemara continues and says, Rav Hamnuna said, Ma'arvin b'tardin, a person is allowed to make an Erev with these tardin chayin, with these raw types of beets. The Gemara says, really? Is that something that's edible? Edible? It has to be edible to be an Erev. Ini, is this so? Rav Chissa said that this silka, that's the same thing as tardin, silka is beets, if it's chaya, if it's raw, Kotil Gavra Chaya. It will kill a live person. It's a play on the word Chaya. So this raw beets is going to kill a live person, a raw person. So therefore, how can you tell me that you can make an Erev out of it? It's dangerous. And obviously, Erev has to be edible. And this is not only not edible, it's dangerous. We turn to the Yomar Aleph. So how Biboshu Velo Boshu? Rashi says, it's dangerous, Kotil Gavra, when it's partially cooked. It's cooked, but not cooked. So in other words, it's partially cooked. If it's raw, it's no problem. If it's fully cooked, it's no problem. But when it's partially cooked, that's when Rav Chisda said, that's dangerous. That's teretz number one. Ika the Amre, others said, this is the way that the conversation went. Amr Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said, Ein ma'arvin b'tardin chayin. A person is not allowed to make an Erev with the tardin that are raw. And the reason why is because here he says it in a, not as a kasha for Rav Chisda, but as a proof from Rav Chisda, that Rav Chisda, silka chaya, that this raw beets, kotel gavra chaya, will kill the raw person, will kill this healthy live person. So therefore, it's in support. Rav Chisda here, according to the second version, is in support of Rav Hamnuna. Where it says, but wait a second, v'ocha chazino, deko achli v'lamaisi. We see people eating this all the time, and nothing happens to them. So how can you tell me eating raw beets is dangerous? Where it says it depends. When Rav Chisda said it's dangerous and Rav Hamnuna said, therefore, you can't make it for an Erev, hasam b'bashu v'lo bashu. That's when it was partially cooked. It's not raw. It's not fully cooked. That is dangerous. And that's why Rav Hamnuna said, based upon Rav Chisda saying that it's dangerous, you can't use it as an Erev. But if it's either raw or if it's fully cooked, then it's perfectly good. And in fact, Rav Chisda said it's actually healthy. On Rav Chisda, tavshul shel tardin. If you have a well-cooked dish of beets, so yofil alev, it's actually good for the heart, the totally naim, it's good for the eyesight. And kol shekel b'nei me'ayim, and if it's good for the heart, good for the eyesight, it's certainly going to be good for the intestines, the stomach. So therefore, Amar Abaye, when is this true, however, it's only if it's on there on top of the oven for a long time, and it starts making a sound that's like tuch tuch, which is an onomatopoeia, which is, that's exactly what it sounds like. Tuch tuch is the sound that it makes. Then you know that it's cooked well enough, and then it's not only not dangerous for you, it's actually quite healthy. With this, we conclude today's shiur.